Matthew chapter number 6. Amen. And you should always have something one round in the chamber. Amen. And you may have heard this before, I don't know, but you probably need it again.
Amen.
That's right, amen. And you can't get in too much of the scripture. It's not stuck in traffic. I was told by my mother I'd already done that twice not to do that. So I got that going for me, amen. And 68 and she's still telling me what to do. But only because I need it.
Yeah.
It's the only reason, only because I need it. Thank you, Pastor, for letting me fill in. I've counted it an honor and a privilege. And my mom's car quit on her the other night, and she called the pastor, and he called somebody and sent them out there, and they took good care of my mom. And I don't know who it was, but I really appreciate. Okay, thank you, my brother, come and rescue my mom. And I really appreciate that. Hope, you know, what you sow, you reap. Sow something good in a widow lady, God lets you reap something good in your life. Amen. Matthew chapter 6 is, of course, a portion of the Sermon on the Mount. And we'll not get, of course, nearly into all of that. Just one thought tonight by way of illustration. In chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible said, now he's going to deal with three things. Let me just start off with this. In what I'm going to read tonight, the Lord's going to deal with three thoughts. He's going to deal with the finances. Then he's going to deal with forgiveness, and then he's going to deal with fasting. And so I've chosen the thought about forgiveness for tonight. Now, the first thing he's going to tell us about each one of these things is how not to do it. First thing he tells us how not to do it. Then he tells us how to do it. And all three of these, he doesn't say if you're going to do it. He says when you do it. So he's taking it under thought that we're going to do these things. So in verse number 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. That's how you don't do it. Verse 2, therefore when thou, not if, but when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now, that's what we want. We want the praise for what we do. It's human nature. But when we do that, we're robbing God of his exalted position and the praise that he deserves by taking it on ourselves. Verse 3, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So he deals with the thought about finances. How do we give? Well, very simply and basically, we give systematically. That's the tithe. That's not the Baptist system. That's the Bible system. We give systematically. Then we give sacrificially. That's above the tithe. That's where your mission money comes in. That's a sacrifice that we're giving to God because we love him. We give systematically. We give sacrificially. We give sympathetically. Someone's car breaks down. Someone misses a payment on the house. Someone has a setback somewhere. We get together and do something to get them some groceries. You understand what I'm saying? So it begins in verse number 5, a new topic. When thou prayest, thou shalt, here it is, not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So if we pray for men to hear us, that's using all those big words to impress those around us. Do you know you can't impress God? You can't impress him. Just tell him what you need. He said, we do this so we get praise of men. Verse 6, but thou, when thou, not if, but when thou prayest, Enter into thy closet, when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which seeth in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father know what things you have need of before you ask him. Now, I think we should still ask him.
Yes, sir.
Because if we don't, we're taking him for granted. Nobody likes to be taken for granted. So we should ask him, amen. And then he begins a model prayer, not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is John 17. Verse 9, did it read verse 8? Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is a model prayer.
Amen.
He is preaching to people who have been saved a very short time. If this is the only thing you pray, pray this. But once you've been saved a while and grow a while and mature a while, you'll go on from this prayer. I'm not making light of this prayer. This is the example that he gave. But there should be maturity and growth from this point out. He said, where did I say? Amen. Verse 13. Verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So he deals with forgiveness and uses this model prayer to speak about forgiveness. This is what I want to magnify tonight. But I want to go on and read the third part, the part about fasting, because I'm probably never going to preach on this. We took my mom out to supper tonight and went to the cotton patch. And so we sat down, the lady brought the menus out and laid them. I said, have you got anything here that's fried? Everything they got there is fried. So we're going to leave fasting out. Moreover, when you fast, not if you do, but when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy feet too, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So he deals with the subject of fasting. Fasting is something that really truly is not much preached about. You don't have to fast from food. Fast from electronics for 24 hours.
Amen. Preach it. Amen. Preach it, brother.
Lock your phone away. Do without it. Don't turn the television on. Some of you can't do that. We were in New Orleans early in our ministry, and Brother Louis Tate was down there, if you remember him, Mom. And we had services in a funeral home. And we were from West Texas. We didn't know what Mardi Gras was. I'd heard of it, but I didn't know what it was. Didn't matter to me. So we were down there for Mardi Gras. He said, today is Fat Tuesday. Didn't know what that meant either. I said, Brother Tate, what's Fat Tuesday? He said, that's when everybody gives up something for Lent. I didn't know what Lent was. Well, I knew. Never. Don't go there. Some of you went anyhow. I told you not to. He said, that's where people give up something for Lent. I said, well, what do they typically give up? He said, cigar smoking seems to be a big thing. I said, I wasn't aware that many people smoke cigars. He said, they don't. But they got to give up something. It's easy to give up something you don't like or enjoy. I have permanently give up on dancing. I'm done. I can't do it anyhow.
Right.
Like Frankenstein. Okay, come on back to service now. Some of you left in your mind. You went somewhere else. Fasting, it's important because the Lord put it in there.
Yes,
sir. Amen. So it's a time we dedicate whatever we're giving up to honor Him. But He talks about this thought of forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of the besetting sins that I think is holding a lot of churches back and a lot of families back and a lot of individuals back from being the child of God they could be, the church they could be, the family they could be, because they will not forgive someone that's done them wrong. So we're going to look at forgiveness for just a little while tonight. Forgiveness, I wrote these things down. It gives us pardon from sin. Now, I remember the night that I got saved, August the 20th, 1975, in Paducah, Kentucky, on a Saturday night about 11 o'clock. And it's raining outside. I remember everything, the weather report. All it was a very important night to me. And I knelt on my knees, and I told God something He already knew. I was a sinner. I was heading to hell. And I said, I don't want to go. And Jesus died for me. And I'm accepting that death and that blood that He shed at Calvary for the payment for my sin. And that night He pardoned me.
Amen,
from sin. He forgave me, though I was wrong and I was a sinner. Forgiveness gives me pardon from sin. Have you ever been pardoned from something? Sin, no doubt. Has that fellow with the cool hand Luke, no eyes, sunglasses, and that black 9mm strap to his hip ever looked in your window and said, I'm going to give you a warning this time? So you've just been pardoned. Keep looking up here, you bunch of sinners. From whatever it was we was doing. Overrunning the speed limit, not stopping at the light, not stopping at the stop, whatever it was, changing lanes without signals, being in the left lane and running 6 miles an hour.
Preach it, brother.
I'm going to. And he says, this time you're going to get just a warning. Boy, that's a pardon from a very small thing in the scope of life. But to be pardoned from sin. Now, why do we need pardon? Because we're guilty.
Amen.
We're guilty. We're guilty of sin. We're born sinners. When we reach the age of accountability, we become accountable for those sins. And I'm thankful for the night that Jesus wrote paid in full.
Amen.
On my sin debt. Amen. It gives me pardon from sin. Why? Because I asked Him to forgive me. I did not say, if I've sinned, forgive me. I said, I have sinned. I am a sinner.
Amen.
And I need forgiveness of sin. It gives me pardon from my sin. Number two, it gives me peace from shame. Now, why do we need peace from shame? Because of the guilt that hangs around in the back of our hearts and minds. I don't know about you, but there's something inside of me that tells me I'm guilty of sin. And even sometimes when I ask and receive forgiveness, there's still that shadow there, if you will. And the devil comes along and says, what gives you the right to get up and stand in front of people and preach, minister, go to the mission field when you're nothing but a dirty, low-down sinner? And I said, yes, sir, you're right, I am, but I have received pardon, and now I need peace. Peace. Forgiveness gives me peace from that past sin in my life. Sin will shadow you, it will slow you, and if you let it, it will stop you. And the devil's the only one, he and me, we're the only ones that will bring it up. Because if it's been forgiven, he's also forgotten it.
Amen.
Now, I can forgive, but I don't forget very well. There is that taint of sin. There is that dirtiness that accompanies sin. When you see something that you really don't intend to see, you don't intend to hear, but it's there. And boy, because the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts, makes us feel dirty. That's a great thing to happen for the Lord to chasten you over sin. I'm glad that he comes to me and says, that's wrong.
Amen.
Keep moving. Don't stop on that channel.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Let it go. When they cut you off in traffic, let it go.
Amen.
When you accidentally cut them off in traffic, and they wave at you, and their hand has been in a terrible accident. Hardly any of it works right. You gotta let it go.
Amen.
Forgiveness. Why? Because that shame that accompanies sin sometimes sticks around after sin's been forgiven. It ought not to, and in his mind it isn't, but I don't have his mind. And it's there. Paul said, the things that I would do, I don't. The things that I don't want to do, that's the things that I do. Now you tell me he didn't have problem with the flesh, and he did.
Amen.
I'm not liking myself to the Apostle Paul, but I'm saying he was a man and I'm a man, and we suffer from the same deficiencies. We need peace from shame. Forgiveness gives me pardon from sin and peace from shame. It gives me the pattern for my sacrifice. Now, if you're in Matthew 6, turn left to Matthew 5. Help you out there a little bit. It's to the left. Matthew 5. Matthew 5 tells us this. Look all the way down to verse 23, Matthew 5, 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. I remember being a boy, and Mom would clean off the kitchen table, and she would have these patterns. She would cut them out, and she would have gone somewhere and got a bolt of cloth, and she would pin that pattern and cut that out and make us shirts and various things that we wore as precious things. There's a pattern for our sacrifice. Now, none of us men had to go out in the backyard last Sunday and get a lamb or a bullock. We didn't have to do it. Thank God.
Amen.
Hebrews 10, 12, but this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down the right hand of the Father. But we still bring a sacrifice. It is not a blood sacrifice, but we still bring a sacrifice. We come and we stand and we open our mouths and we make a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, not to each other to impress about our ability, but to God for his goodness in our life. Just a few moments ago, the children went back and got the money. When we give the money, that is a sacrifice that we're giving. So we have a sacrifice. We're going to give a sacrifice. By the way, don't you love the children? It's so easy to give something that doesn't belong to you. And by the way, what we've got really don't belong to us anyhow. Boy, I didn't get near as many amens on that part as did the first part. So we come to bring a sacrifice to the Lord. Whatever it is, sacrifice of praise, sacrifice of thanksgiving, of an offering. And we remember that our brother hath aught against us. What do? We leave the sacrifice. We go be reconciled to our brother. And then we come back and make the sacrifice. We're trying to serve a holy and righteous God with aught in our hearts with each other. He said, I'm not going to accept that. So the correct pattern is to be right with each other first and then bring the sacrifice that God wants to him. I think we're bringing a tainted sacrifice because someone parked in our spot or sat in our pew. I choose the front one because it's got virgin cushions there. Those back there have wore out. You come up here, these have never been used. Amen. And there's more leg room. So someone sits in our pew. Someone parks in our space. Someone didn't compliment us on the song that we sang. Someone didn't like the dish that we brought, the stew we brought to the praise worship on Tuesday night. Nobody ate my soup. So I'm going to swell up like a stomped on toad and pout. Aren't we having a good time tonight? Boy, y'all need to pray for your pastor that this never happens again. Amen. The pattern for our sacrifice. I want to make a sacrifice to God, but I want it to be accepted of Him. And to be accepted of Him, I've got to be right with my brothers. That's what the Bible's telling us. So forgiveness shows us pardon from sin, peace from shame, the pattern for a sacrifice, the petition from our Savior. This is getting the prayers answered. If you're in Matthew 5, turn right till you get to Matthew 18. Boy, I'm being a help tonight. I can tell I'm just helping you all out so much. Matthew 18. Very important verses. Look down at verse number 23. Matthew 18, 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. When he began to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. And that's terrible, isn't it? The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. Praise the God. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, which is not near 10,000 talents. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told him their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after they had called him, said to him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, that he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So here's a fellow that owes 10,000 talents. The Lord of the land said, I'm going to sell you, your wife, your children, all your possessions. Put that on the debt as far as it goes. He falls down, have patience, give me a little time. Put me on a monthly payment. I'll get it paid out. And the Lord has compassion on him. Says, I'm wiping the debt clean. The same guy finds one of his fellow servants owes him a little bit. Now, shaking hands is a very friendly gesture. Taking someone by the throat, Bible said he took him by the throat. Have you ever had someone you wanted to take? No, please don't put your hand up, please. Aren't we having a good time tonight? You mean I have to forgive my brother? That's right. All right. You better listen close. This is the only time you're ever going to hear this. I forgive you. Does that count? The Bible said from his heart. Well, you don't know whether it's from my heart or not. You're right, I don't, but God does. And I don't really count, but he does. So if we're not willing to forgive the one that's done us wrong, he's going to make us pay the full debt. This is not salvation. This is not salvation. If it's salvation, he had been forgiven and he wouldn't have had to pay the debt. This is not salvation. This is doing wrong to each other. This is the petition we want from the Savior. I want God to answer my prayers. But he's not going to answer my prayers if I'm angry with my brother. We served in Romania for some time, and this is before cell phones were very popular. They were very expensive. Y'all remember those days, some of you. And we would get to Romania, and we would either call my parents or call our daughter, or call our son. Let them call the other ones. Didn't cost near as much as an international call. And so it was our son, Brad. And we got to Romania, and we got on the cell phone. It was a little flip phone, Motorola flip phone, as I remember. And I said, hey, we're here. We got the luggage. We got a lot of plans, and we're excited. We're both healthy. Everything's cool. And we'll be back over in the States in about 2.5 weeks. See you later. He said, now, wait a minute, Dad. I said, that's costing me a lot of money. What's the problem? Spit it out. He said, Jacob, that's our grandson, is sick. Well, now I got time. Do I need to come home? Is he in the hospital? Have you taken the doctor? What's the problem? Tell me what the... Now, Dad, he's teething and running a little fever and a real fussy, and that's probably all that it is. Pray for him. So got off the phone. We had a little room in one of the orphans' homes there. We went in, Gene and I got down on our knees beside the bed to pray for Jacob. And it seemed like God said, yes, sir, I got everything he needs. I got all the answers you need. But you're still mad at brother so-and-so. For what he said, what he did. You want God to answer your prayer? You better have made it right. In our text in chapter 6, he said, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, then I'll forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, I won't forgive you. If he won't forgive us, how are we going to get that prayer answered? Proverbs said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, that's sin, he won't hear me. So as long as I've got sin blocking the line, can't get that prayer through to him. So now whatever somebody's done to me is a pretty small thing compared to getting a prayer through from a grandson. Now it don't really matter whether he parked in my spot or not. There's plenty of them. Amen? Now it don't matter whether he sat in my pew or not. There's plenty of other ones. Amen? Now, one of these days, we're going to need to get a prayer through that's not going to be a child teething. It's going to be cancer. It's going to be a car wrapped around a phone pole in the middle of the night. And all these little petty things that have cropped up in our life that we've had an unforgiven spirit for are going to keep God from answering prayers when we need him. This is the key to a Ford Edge. I don't even know what year model it is. Not like the keys we used to have. Used to be two of them. One for the door and one for the ignition. I'm dating myself now. I never have cranked one from the front like some of y'all have. If you don't have this key or the one exactly like it that's in her purse, you cannot get in that car. Cannot start it legally. There's a key to getting prayers answered, and it is the key of forgiveness. So forgiveness gives me pardon from sin, peace from shame, the pattern for sacrifice, the petition from my Savior, and then last of all, it gives me power to serve. Forgiveness does that. I my bus, our bus, it's the Lord's bus. Especially when it's broke down. Lord, your bus is here. Amen. We're about 70 foot long. The coach is 45 and the trailer's 22 and there's a tongue in between. I run 60 mile an hour on the interstate. Yes, I am that guy in the left lane running.
Amen, brother.
No, I don't. I run 60 mile an hour because I'm big and I'm heavy. And I'm not as young as I used to be, and my reflexes are not what they were. And I run down the highway, and I see the cars on the other way going the other direction. Sometimes they'll flash their lights. Now, I know what that means. There's a bear in the grass. This is old stuff. Look, if you're running over the speed limit, and your license has expired, and the insurance is not paid, and the inspection's due, you will not be able to get your foot off that pedal fast enough. You'll jerk a crick in your neck. You know why? You're guilty. You're guilty of something. But if you're running the speed limit and driver's license are current, insurance paid, tags are where they're supposed to be, you just turn the gospel music up and keep trucking.
Amen.
I want power to serve God. And the only way you get that power, or one of the ways I should say, is to be free from this thing of holding a grudge against somebody else. Sin. We were in a Walmart, it's been years ago, I guess. We shop at the mall, but we buy at Walmart. You got that, didn't you? And we see this lady that's a member of the church we're preaching revival in. She sees us, and I'm just about to give her a hey. She turns around and goes the other way. Now, I'm wondering about this. Like, she's dressed okay, but wonder what was in that cart. She didn't want the preacher to see. She ran around where the pickles and the mustard were, so I came around where the hot dog buns and the hamburger buns was. She ran around where the coffee and the coffee mate was. I come around where the filters and the tea bags are. And when she saw me this time, she turned and went the other direction as fast as she could push that cart. See, when you and I are carrying a load of sin, we're worried about everybody or anybody seeing us and knowing what we're doing. But when that sin is out, you're free to serve God. Whoever sees you, that's fine, because you're at the right place, you're doing the right thing, you're the right people. Forgiveness is so important. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, there may be one here.